So in terms of the subtlety among the six different perfections, the early ones, the former ones, they are grosser as compared to the latter ones. Next is extensive explanation of how to train in the conduct in general. Training in the perfections that ripen one's own Buddha qualities, training the four ways of gathering that ripen others' mental continua. So the first one, how to train in generosity, ethical discipline, patience, joyous effort, concentration, and wisdom. The attitude of generosity is a virtuous intention to give the actions of body and speech motivated by it. It is the intention at the time the body and the speech engage in generosity. Now, divisions of generosity. Subdivisions from the point of view of individual supports and subdivisions of the entity of generosity itself. In the Bodhisattva Pratimoksha, it is taught that generosity of material things is generally practiced by lay bodhisattvas, whereas ordained bodhisattvas should do the generosity of the Dharma that are rather than generosity of material things. So when I speak about the generosity of Dharma, it is not necessary that the one should sit on a big throne like that, rather giving mere advice as to how to practice Dharma and so forth. So they all are encompassed as generosity of the Dharma. divisions of the entity of generosity itself. The generosity of the Dharma. The generosity of the Dharma is to unmistakenly teach the holy Dharma, to teach as suitable, without misdeeds, the worldly aims of action, such as crafts and so forth. So here, when it says by Lama Tsongkhapa, so forth, so it includes mainly, it includes like the contemporary science, technology, and so forth. So we should be of benefit to the humankind, and not something that of a harmful nature. So, for example, in the ancient times, so people when they make sword or knives and so forth, so the very purpose of actually making all these things is actually to use it to someone else and in killing someone else. So without that, what use of that? That is as such, when it says generosity of giving instructions of Dharma and so forth. So here, so forth should something really include, which is virtuous and not something harmful in nature, like instructing someone to as to how to make a sword and so forth. So, for example, at times of the natural calamity as flood and so forth, in Indonesia and so forth, we see that there are a whole lot of people from the entire globe, the planet, coming to give hands to these people, those who are facing problems. So, indeed, we see that these are the kind of a generosity of fearlessness, which belongs to the second category. So from that perspective, we see that indeed the sense of compassion, sense of love, other people really display in terms of offering help to those people in the destitute. So it's just amazing. And then whereas if you think about some of the police people, so although they are meant to bring about peace and calmness in the country, but sometimes there are police who bully the ordinary people. So I don't know about these people in terms of whether or not they are really offering the generosity, they are practicing the generosity of fearlessness. And then when we speak about the doctors and the very warm-hearted nurses, so they really have the power to kind of save someone from kind of fear of sickness and these things. And then next is the generosity of material things. So that includes offering other people, those people who are facing the problem of not having in possession something to eat and so forth. So the text reads, first, the generosity of Dharma. The generosity of the Dharma is to unmistakably teach the holy Dharma, to teach as suitable, without misdeeds, the worldly aims of action, such as crops and so forth, and to make others engage in upholding the basis of the trainings. Second, the generosity of fearlessness. The generosity of fearlessness is to thoroughly protect others from the fear of humans, such as kings, bandits, and so forth, from the fear of non-humans, such as lions, tigers, and so forth, and fear of the elements such as water, fire, and so forth. And third, the generosity of material things. The generosity of material things is to give material things to others. So, generally speaking, we happen to be actually practicing generosity to some extent. So some people, because of their belief in Dharma, then they tend to engage in the practice of generosity by thinking that by so doing, it will help us acquire a whole lot of wealth in the future lifetimes and so forth. So if you do that, so this is something quite trivial. So, but the best thing to do is actually whatever kind of action of giving you do, you make sure that you try to complement that with the very powerful, genuine sense of altruism, genuine sense of love and compassion towards others, rather than trying to think of one's own self-interest. And then in relation to this, it would be good if, depending on the kind of the financial situation that you are in, it's good if you can contribute to establishing schools, hospitals, and so forth, which could be of benefit to many of the destitute people. Actually, this afternoon I've already installed energy transmission. Just check if the transmission is not good. Just check with the. There are two alternatives. There are two signals, and the frequency it varies from 90.5-ish to 91-point-something. Just check with these two. There are two different signals. So you can select whichever is more clear to you. Next, how to generate generosity in one's continuum? So there are generosity whereby you can actually give your body, give away your wealth, give away your virtues. So it says in the the precious garland by Nagarjuna. So he spoke about how to generate such a kind of power of generosity to give, to dedicate whatever body, whatever wealth, virtue that you have towards other sentient beings. So in order to really actualize such kind of a powerful generosity, you have first of all trained that mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to do that, you have to think about the positive qualities of giving away those things, your body, and then the disadvantages of not giving the body and so forth. So for example, if you take your body into consideration, so primarily it is caused from the defiled or very dirty kind of materials from your parents. And also that for to sustain this body, we depend on the foods and drinks. And the very function of the body is simply to create, it serves like a kind of machine to create these the fishes or the bowels or urines. And if the physical body, if you feel comfortable, you are in a kind of the moderate climatic condition, then you see that the urine and these things, they are coming out okay. And whereas if you face kind of a terrible coldness or hotness, then again, the very product the body produces seems to be so horrible. So this very body, which is in fact the very basis for all kinds of sufferings, so we tend to then cherish it so much. So by reflecting that way, imagine as to the falls of this very body. And then it says in the compendium of trainings, thus my body and mind pass away in every instant. If through this body impermanent tainted, permanent and untainted enlightenments attained, is this not invaluable? So then having this body, though very much defiled and unclean, and yet by employing that, we can generate such a powerful wisdom, the wisdom of emptiness, to really lead oneself to the state of the highest good, that is enlightenment. So in case, if it is the case that we can use this body, though so defiled, and that we achieve the state of such a body of the Buddha, which is endowed with the 32 major marks and the 80 minor marks, so that should be worth. It is actually worth doing whatever to do with this body. And then if the question is asked, whether or not your body is to be given up right now, give it away to others right now, but the thing is that you should really check with the actual time whether or not it is the right time for you to give away your body. So in order to reach such a stage as to you gain a kind of conviction to give a conviction and a kind of courage to give your body away, so the measure is that you should have a very strong reflection or understanding of emptiness, and also you should have reached such a level whereby you would have no regret whatsoever, even after having given the body. So unless you reach such a kind of mental development, or unless you reach such a kind of mental realization or mental courage, so it is advised not to give away your body. So it is on this basis that in 400 stanza by Aridheva, it says that although this body is very much like an enemy, because this is the very source of all problems, and yet because this has some kind of use by which we can actually accomplish dharma, as such, cherish this body. So if you reflect on so well, we see that what Aridheva stated in the 400 stanza right now is something very worthwhile, something very meaningful and realistic. The text reads like this: through taking the three bodily resources and rules of virtue as observed object, you should familiarize yourself again and again with the thought of giving them away to all sentient beings. Since presently this wish has not yet matured and it has little strength, even though you have already given away your body in thought to sentient beings, you should not actually give away your flesh, etc. Nonetheless, since the compendium of trainings says that if we do not train in the thought to give away our body in life due to lack of familiarity with it, we will also not be able to do so in the future either, it is necessary to train in that thought from now on.